Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined today by Barry Trammell. The NBA trade window is open, and we already have huge deals to discuss. First, on Sunday, it was reported that Dennis Schroeder is headed to the Los Angeles Lakers. And then on Monday, just a couple hours after the window opened at 11 a.m. Central, ESPN and others reported that Chris Paul is headed to the Phoenix Suns, along with Abdul Nader, in exchange for a 2022 first-round pick and four players, Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, Jalen Lecque, and Ty Jerome. Barry, we knew it was coming at some point, and today was the day. What were your thoughts, starting with the Chris Paul trade?
Well, here's what, when you say we knew it was coming, you're exactly right. And, I think about some of the trades we never saw coming. I think about the Harden trade, in the third quarter of the OU-Notre Dame game. Nobody saw that coming. The Paul George trade, nobody saw that coming. But since then, we've seen them coming, and one reason we saw this coming is we saw the Russell Westbrook trade coming. Not exactly what it was or who it was for, but we knew Russell was going to be gone. And one reason we knew that is because a few days earlier, Jeremy Grant was traded to Denver for a first-round pick. And if you're going to trade Jeremy Grant for no immediate return, that means, you're starting to – you're rebuilding. And that Russell Westbrook wasn't going to be a part of that. And the same thing, in my mind, happened this week. On Sunday, we hear – Dennis Schroeder is going to get traded. Well, if you trade Dennis Schroeder for a first-round draft pick and, Danny Green, you're really not that's the sign you're rebuilding. And Chris Paul is not interested in rebuilding. That means all the talk about the Chris Paul trade indeed was going to happen, and it happened very quickly. I think it also – it involved draft picks. I think the Thunder wanted these draft picks. Pick from the Lakers for this year. So it's a sad day. Anytime you lose a superstar, especially somebody as beloved as Chris Paul, but we should have seen it coming, and we had a great ride, and maybe the rebuild won't be very long.
I want to start at sort of the beginning of this Chris Paul trade, because it's remarkable when you sort of follow its path. The Thunder trades Russell Westbrook, obviously, to the Rockets. They get back Chris Paul, two first-round picks, and two pick swaps. Those first-round picks coming in 24 and 26 with the swaps in 21 and 25. The thinking at the time, at least I sure thought this, and I think a lot of others did, is that to get off Chris Paul's contract, which had 38, 41, and 44 million left, the Thunder would then have to attach a pick or a young player, whatever, to get off that salary. And now here we are, a month before the season, and the Thunder not only has those picks from the Rockets, but they have a 2022 first rounder from the Suns. They've got Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre, who both are valuable in sort of different ways, and two young guys they're going to take a chance on. Let's just break down this trade. Like, why does it make sense for the Thunder to do this?
Well, I think this all ties in with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and frankly, right, even before the request by trade for Paul George, when the Thunder committed to Russell Westbrook for the mega contract that was 5 years, the super max, basically, it was going to be paying Russell Westbrook, is it $47 million when he's 35? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Or 34, whatever it was. That's something the Thunder felt they had to do to keep, to keep the band going and keep this great run of NBA contention going as long as possible. But there was no way it was going to end well. You can't pay $35 million. I mean, you can't pay 35-year-olds $47 million a year when they're not LeBron James. That's just not tenable. And Paul George came aboard and signed an extension, and everybody was happy, and we were all thrilled. But even after Paul George did that, you knew winter was coming, and you knew that there was going to be a day of reckoning. And in effect, what Paul George did by asking for a trade was a great gift to the Thunder.
Sam produced
this trade of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari and the 5 first-round draft picks. And it gave the Thunder two things. It gave them a foundational player for the future, a 20-year-old SGA, who at the worst is going to be a really good player, at almost for sure going to be a star, possibly a superstar. You never know. We still don't know. But definitely a big-time player. And it also gave you all these assets to do all kinds of stuff with. And then that meant once you made that trade, well, then you knew Russell's going to be gone. And, you know, he's able to do the Chris Paul trade. No reason to talk about it. Fantastic trade. In retrospect, every team in the league would take Chris Paul over Russell Westbrook straight up. The Thunder took Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook straight up. And, oh, yeah, I got 2 first-round draft picks and 2 draft swaps. So Sam solidified the future.
Yeah.
And now we see that by moving on from Dennis Schroeder and particularly Chris Paul. But it's probably not going to be all that great for the next year or three around Chesapeake Arena. You know, there's not going to be, I don't think, any playoffs coming anytime soon. But he solidified the future with all these draft picks. And got out of a contract that was going to be a millstone, the Westbrook and then the Paul, got out of that and gave the Thunder financial freedom. And now they can still screw it up. It's possible that the Thunder goes a decade without making the playoffs. But that's not likely with the organization's track record and Sam's record for draft picks and trades. So in effect, what we're doing is we're going through some short-term discomfort for long-term greatness. So it's really a, you never want to say goodbye to a superstar, but the truth is, you know, this was about as good as it could possibly get when you need to trade a superstar.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point is, there's no doubt that trades Sam Presti made were masterful in putting this whole thing in sequence. I think the one thing that even Presti would tell you that he couldn't have predicted is just how good Chris Paul would have played for the Thunder, making second team All-NBA, missing one game the whole season because of injury, being named an All-Star for the first time since 2016. Like the Chris Paul contract, you're willing to take that on because of the draft picks you got from the Rockets. But if Chris Paul gets hurt or if his production just declines so much, then that contract's almost impossible to trade. But Chris, you know, totally rebuilt his value. And, you know, even with 41 and 44 million left on it for the next 2 seasons, it made it not only possible to be traded, but somewhat easy to be traded. I mean, there was a market out there for Chris Paul. The Suns clearly had the best offer. And it's an easy decision to make. I really think for both teams, the Suns have been bad for a long time now. They don't have good ownership. Chris Paul was willing to go there to play with a superstar in Devin Booker, a young player who could turn into a star in DeAndre Ayton. He moves a little, he cuts down the distance between him and Los Angeles where his family lives. So I think it makes sense for the Suns. And then for the Thunder, you get a 2022 first round pick. It's protected 1 through 12 and those projections lessen year after year. And then you get Kelly Oubre, who's on an expiring contract for $14 million. You get Ricky Rubio, who has 2 years left on his deal, I think 17 and 17.8 million. What do you think of the return for Paul? I think that the draft pick is probably the most valuable asset, but a close second is Oubre. This is a guy who can really score the ball. He's only 24. He's about to turn 25. He averaged close to 19 points per game last season. And it's like, he's almost 25. So it sounds weird saying this, but he's a little ahead of the Thunder's timeline. I don't think Kelly Oubre is going to be part of the next great Thunder team, but he's a guy you don't mind extending if he plays well, but also on an expiring deal. If he puts up huge numbers for the Thunder, which I think he will, he seems like a piece that could be easy to trade by the deadline.
Yeah, and the thing I like about Oubre, and really Rubio and Danny Green, but Oubre most, is this. Getting players like that in return is actually a little bit of an insurance policy for Thunder fans. These are not bad players. They're pretty good players. They're not difference makers. They're not stars, but they're good players. If you got these guys in a couple of trades back-to-back, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, we'd be celebrating in the streets. We'd be saying, the Thunder bench is set. If Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, and Danny Green are your fifth, seventh, and ninth best players, you got yourself a ball team. If they're your third, fourth, and fifth best players, you're not going much of anywhere. So they are they're good teams. They're good players. And they're not going to take the Thunder to the playoffs. But they'll win some games. They will win some games, and they will increase the entertainment value of this team. And they will ensure that the Thunder is going to play all out. The Thunder's clearly tanking, but that doesn't mean they're going to be trying to lose games. They're not going to go put Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre and Danny Green on the bench. They're not going to play 12 minutes a game. They're going to be auditioning for future trades. If Kelly Oubre comes out, he averaged, what'd you say, 18.7 last year, points a game? If they come out and score 20 points, if he comes out and scores 20 points a game next year, hey, he's going to be a hot commodity at the trade deadline. All kinds of people could use a 6'7" wing who's not terrible on defense and who can make three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Heck, for all I know, come April, Thunder might have 18 first-round draft picks in the next, coming down the pipe.
They have 16 first-round draft picks through 2026, and I want to touch on more on that in a little bit, but just sticking with Oubre, would you expect him – well, back to your point of how good he is as a scorer. He's got length. He's got good athleticism. He's still young. I think teams will be interested in him. I think he'll draw significant interest. But, if you're talking about, like, the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes, and I know the lottery is leveled off with the odds a little bit, but the Thunder right now, they're still going to be one of the bottom three teams probably in the West, even with this team. But they're a little too good still to completely tank. Like, what do you expect them to do with – let's just stick with the Suns trade for now. Do you think Rubio and Oubre will be on the roster? Because I'm sort of under the understanding that Rubio is going to be a little bit more difficult to move given the $17 and $18 million 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, Rubio is the least valuable of those three, I think. Not just because of his contract, but that's certainly part of it. I think wings, it's a wing-driven league right now.
Yeah.
So I think Rubio might be here for the longer haul, but that's still not necessarily a bad thing because he's not a bad player.
You also need someone to handle the ball. Like, it can't just be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander out there the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And he could play, the idea that Dennis Schroeder is a better player than Ricky Rubio is probably so. That's probably true. But I don't know that it's rock solid gospel. I mean, Ricky Rubio's been a good player on good teams. He took out the Thunder. His Utah Jazz took out the Thunder in the 18 playoffs, when he was at least as good as Russell Westbrook in that series.
I mean, they're not close as far as scoring punch, but if he got traded to a contender, he'd be one of the best backup one guards in the league, I think. I mean, this is a guy who's started basically his whole career.
Yeah, so I mean, he's going to help him win some games. Now, I hope he comes in here and plays great. And somebody like, you know, the Lakers or whoever else needs a point guard. Same way the Lakers need a shooter. Somebody says, hey, we need Ricky Rubio, and says, hey, here's what we'll give you. So a lot of options out there for the Thunder. Ricky Rubio is a good player. Kelly Oubre is a good player. Danny Green is a, you know, he's a role player, but you can still, he's still valuable. So Thunder's in pretty good shape. And with 20 out of the 30 teams in the league in win now mode, the market should be work to, should be to the Thunder's advantage.
Moving further down this trade, obviously Ty Jerome and Jalen Lecque are not the headline pieces in this deal, but I think it's really interesting that both of them were included. And here's why: is you could make this deal work without two young guys being included in this deal. So I think Kevin Pelton brought this up in his trade grade on ESPN, is, you know, either the Suns or the Thunder wanted Ty Jerome to be included. Who knows which one actually wanted him. Same for Jalen Lecque, who actually was an undrafted free agent. He committed to NC State, was a big time high school prospect, but he was a fifth year prep player. So he was old enough to declare for the draft. So he did not go to college, and then he did not get drafted, but he still signed a contract. So kind of a cross between Darius Bazley and Lou Dort as far as the path he took to the NBA. Jerome, who we know well from covering him in college with
Virginia. We saw him. We saw him live twice.
Yeah, we saw Ty Jerome play when they knocked out the Sooners en route to the national championship. He left Virginia after his junior season. He was hurt much of last year with an ankle injury, did not play well, did not shoot the ball well. But he's a 6'5 guard. Lecque's a little bit smaller, but they're both guards who can maybe handle it a little bit. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on Ty Jerome, much less Jalen Lecque. But what did you make of those two young pieces being involved in this?
I read what you read, Kevin Pelton said. I thought that was a great point. I don't know the answer to that. Does the Thunder like him, or does Phoenix not like him?
Yeah.
Or it's possible both. Unlikely. It's probably just that one of them. I tend to think it's more likely that Phoenix doesn't like him. But, you know, what? Where'd he go? Was it 13, 15?
Jerome.
In the draft? Yeah.
I think where'd it was 24 last year.
Oh, he's 24, so down the line. You know, they might have said, you know, we were hoping it'd be Tyler Hero, and it turns out he was, you know, Tyler Hansborough. So, you know, it's a case of Phoenix may just say, let's get out from under this guy. But it's a flyer that Thunder can take. What's the hurt in grabbing a first round draft pick 1 year after he's in the NBA and see how he does? Now the Lecque, how do you say his name? Lecque?
Lecque.
Lecque. They call him Baby Westbrook.
Yeah, what about
there
that?
There are people walking the face of the earth that would say, isn't that redundant? I'm not one of those people, but, you know, I mean, I don't know what they mean by that. Is he a phenomenal athlete? Does he take 34? Does he take three-point shots unconsciously? I don't know what that means.
Well, here's the deal. I think he's very athletic. He is 6'3". And in the G League last year, he shot 22% from three.
Yeah. It's
I think this is what we call a flyer.
Yeah, probably so. You're probably right about that. So, you know, we'll see. Can't hurt. Give a guy, you know, Thunder's not adverse to playing guys who shoot 22%. You know, Hamidou Diallo spent parts of two seasons in the rotation shooting about that. So, you know, when you're in lose now mode, who cares? Ty Jerome, Lecque, any of these guys, Baby Westbrook, you know, there's no risk. It's a risk free situation. So just see what you got.
Are you going to call him Baby Westbrook?
I don't know. Since other people have done it, I'm not adverse to it.
I need to write the origin story of that nickname.
It's a fantastic story. I will say this. I don't really want to call him Baby Westbrook. I don't want to get off on the wrong foot with the guy. So I don't know. It seems like a Thunder Phoenix game this year. It seems like I saw Ty Jerome play, maybe even in Oklahoma City, live.
Yeah,
he did. Played pretty well. Did he have a decent game against the Thunder at some point?
I can't remember how he played, but I do remember seeing him. So.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Not great analysis on my part, but I did see him.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's get two young players, see how they do. You know, it's, what's the harm?
Also, you know, Jerome's on his rookie contract. He's got guaranteed money for this year. He's got a team option for next season. So if it doesn't work out, they can always decline that option. Lequeux has 3 years left, but this season's guaranteed. The next two seasons are not guaranteed. So they're zero risk. They're cheap contracts and young guys that you're willing to take a chance on. And the Thunder's going to need bodies. So it's a fascinating trade. I'm glad it finally got done just to move past this. Obviously, the reports linking Chris Paul to Phoenix last week were correct. A little bit of a business that got done well before the trade window actually opened Sunday. You mentioned it, but Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers, which I think is a fantastic fit for the Lakers. And in return, the Thunder are receiving Danny Green, a three-time NBA champion, and the Lakers' first-round draft pick on Wednesday night, which is number 28. So basically Danny Green and number 28 for Dennis Schroeder. What did you – overall impressions of that deal?
Well, I thought it was a solid trade. They were not going to get much out of him, as you know, in terms of a big deal because he's only got 1 year left on the contract. Danny Green could be flipped for something else. There's a lot of people that say Danny Green has a lot of value around the league. If they could trade Danny Green for another first-round draft pick, you get two first-round draft picks for Dennis Schroeder in a time when you want to lose games, you know, that probably works pretty good. Probably works pretty good.
And it was a virtual swap of contracts. They're making the same amount of money, $15 million, and Danny Green's also on an expiring contract. So I do think Danny Green will be flipped, not for sure before the season, but definitely by the trade deadline if he plays anywhere close to where he's been playing. He had a down shooting year last year, but he's still a career 40% three-point shooter. He can really defend, and I think he's 33 now, but I think he's still got something left. He's very much in the, you know, they've got some similar guys now in like Rubio and Danny Green, who are those veterans that are way more valuable to a good team than they are to a bad team.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I don't know what's going to happen with Oubre, with Rubio, with Danny Green. They may end up playing out the season and walking away. They may get traded for something good. They may get traded for something bad. But it does give the Thunder options, and that's what Sam Presti loves. He loves options. So the good thing about it, if you're a Thunder loyalist and if you make long-term attachments like me, to me, it's less likely you trade Steven Adams now.
Are you mentally preparing for that for a trade?
No, there's no mental preparation for that. I mean, there's no mass anarchy. It's not. There's no way you prepare for anarchy. crestfallen heart. There's no. You don't prepare for those things. You just endure them. But if you got these other trade, you know, centers are not a big commodity. There's not a big market for centers. So it would have to be a pretty narrow path for somebody to call Sam and said, we need Steven Adams.
Especially at that point.
Yeah, and we'll give you something above a basket, a bucket of balls. It's not likely to happen, I don't think. I mean, when you got other assets to deal. So I think it's possible that Steven Adams could finish out his contract here and then sign a much more inexpensive contract and be a long-term Thunder. That would be really cool.
Well, let's talk through a possible starting five of whatever this team might look like. So you think Adams is going to still be in Oklahoma City, right?
Yes, I happen to think that.
Starting
yes.
at center, I think neither of us think Danilo Gallinari is going to be on the roster.
No, I do not think. Do you? You think? I think Gallo will be gone.
So Darius Baisley starts at the four. Lou Dort.
I'm going to say Ronnie Oubre is going to be the small forward, the wing.
So if Rubio's still here, do you start Rubio and still play Shea off the ball?
I don't know. They might do that. Dort, you know, I don't know what you do with Lou Dort. Lou Dort actually helps you win games. And I don't know if the Thunder wants to win games. So, but that is basically an option there. You go with Dort or do you go with Rubio? Personally, I would like to see SGA's point guard skills develop as much as possible. That's what I would enjoy seeing. Can he be a big time point guard? I'd like to find out.
I agree. And I don't think the Thunder is going to be going out of their way to like appease Ricky Rubio after this deal. I think that Shea is the long-term point guard. And like you said, it feels weird to even like talk about, okay, who's going to start? What's the team going to look like? Because the team is not built to win. That is not going to be the objective next season. The players are not going to be intentionally trying to lose games, but obviously the roster was not constructed to win. But it'll be interesting to see how Shea develops as a primary point guard, how Baisley develops as the starting four. What Oubre looks like and how he fits into the team's future, I think, is a big question. And then the way these last 2 days have gone, losing Dennis Schroeder, losing Chris Paul, about to lose Gallinari more than likely, like going back to our last podcast, it kind of makes the Mark Daigneault hire make all the more sense. These are young players he's going to be coaching. There's no pressure to win at all. And he's an unproven coach with an unproven team. I think it like makes that even more of a natural fit at this point.
Yeah. And that the Daigneault hire was a sign that this was likely. You know, I think there was a path, a scenario by which the Thunder did run it back.
I do too.
And did just have another year. But I do think it was sort of a narrow path. You know, we're coming out of an election cycle, so I've got all these terms in my head, narrow path to victory and that kind of stuff. But this was the most likely scenario. And the hiring of Daigneault, I think, was a sure sign that it was going to happen sooner than later. You know, I don't know that if you're really going to try to make the playoffs and win games when you get there, I don't know that you go with a 35-year-old novice as coach. But if you are going to, you know, go all in on the franchise culture and the rebuilding, on instilling in young players the Thunder way, then Daigneault makes perfect sense. So I think that's, you know, that the Daigneault hire last week and then the Schroeder trade both portended, hey, Chris Paul's on his way out and might as well get used to it. And the truth of the matter is the Thunder got way more out of the Chris Paul trade a year ago, 18 months ago, than we ever thought possible. This is not where we started this questioning, but when I heard the Thunder had traded Westbrook for Chris Paul, I thought, what are they doing? And I should have been saying, look what they've done. It was a phenomenal trade.
Yeah,
in every regard.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It's crazy to think where they are now. I think that, you know, everyone, it seems like hardly anyone who's, you know, a basketball fan or an analyst or reporter, it's like, I think everyone sees these trades the Thunder are making and saying, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Of course they would pick up another first round pick or something like that. That's really been the goal. The goal in the Chris Paul trade was to get a first round pick and then whatever comes along with that. Same with Dennis Schroeder. And they accomplished both of those objectives in the Lakers and Suns trade. Now they have 16 first round picks between now and 2026. You mentioned it in the column you wrote today. What does one do with 16 first-round picks?
Well, the first thing you do is petition the NBA to see if 20-man rosters can be allowed. They now have more first-round draft picks in the next seven drafts than roster spots available. This is a strange situation. It's actually, you know, I facetiously wrote, what do you do with 16 first-round draft picks? The answer is not one person on planet Earth knows, because no one's ever had 16 first-round draft picks in a six-year period.
Yeah, I mean, Woj put it today that no one's ever gone into a rebuild with this many assets.
Yeah, so. It's just crazy what they've got. Now, most of these draft picks are not going to fall, you know, 35, 6. They're going to be sprinkled throughout the whole first round. The good news is this, though. The NBA, the way basketball has gone, first-round picks, outside of when Anthony Davis or Zion Williamson or whoever comes along, lottery picks are not as for sure, you know, sure shots as they were in years past. The AAUization of a basketball has made scouting more difficult. The early entry by, hardly anybody goes to college for more than a year if you're an NBA prospect. That makes scouting more difficult. Within a year or two, we're pretty sure we're going to have high school kids being eligible for the draft. That's going to make it even more of a crapshoot. This is the perfect time to have a bunch of draft picks. So Sam is well placed in this asset strategy of his.
You literally cannot have enough first round picks. Like everyone who's like, well, why are they just trading for more first round draft picks? Why are they just trading for more first round draft picks? It's like, are you really complaining that they're stockpiling all of these picks? Like, the goal at some point is to bundle three of them together for one fantastic pick, or four of them together for some superstar once they're on the cusp of doing something. They're not close to that yet. The rebuild literally started today as Chris Paul was traded. But for example, like, I still think it's unlikely they make a move up to number one or whatever on Wednesday, but they have number 25 and number 28. Say they really wanted to, could you not put four of those together and try to make a move? Like, that's what they're going to do at some point. I don't know which draft it will be.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point. Now, let's say you got somebody at eight this year that you want. Have a deal, and if they're available at eight, have a deal worked out where you give somebody the 25 and the 28 and then a couple of future first-round draft picks. You can't use them all anyway. Yeah. So I think that's an excellent point, a good way to accumulate to move up. Now, that requires a special case. You know, if you got the number eight pick, you know, you might not be all that antsy to get to pass it on. But let's say, and every team views a draft differently. You know, maybe the Thunder sees a guy who's in the upper half of the draft that they really like. They identify as a guy that's going to go early and they really like. There's also been years when the Thunder looks at a draft and says, well, we like these first six guys or these first nine guys or these first 12 guys. After that, there's 40 guys that are about even in our minds. And if you're drafting 21, what good does that do you? Well, then you might say, well, let's trade our 21 move up or down. And so everybody looks at the draft differently. And the good news is smart teams tend to come out better on this. And I don't think anybody could claim otherwise. The Thunder is a smart team. You know, the NBA reaction today is, yeah, it's not good for Chris Paul, good for Phoenix, but look what the Thunder did again. They're just, whether that translates to playoff victories, we'll see. You know, we're coming up on 5 years since the last playoff series advancement for the Thunder, and it's going to be a while before they get another one. But the long-term future looks pretty bright.
I know you've been anti-tank in the past. Are you
The Thunder gets a get out of jail card free for tanking this season for a couple of reasons. One, it's COVID. Nobody's substantially going to get to go to the arena anyway. It's an abbreviated season, fewer games. It's going to be a interrupted season. We're going to see all kinds of interruptions, I'm sure. They're not going to be in a bubble. There's going to be all kinds of cancellations. If you're going to have a season when you're not trying to win, this is the season to win. All kinds of fans are upset over the social justice messaging, saying, I'm canceling my season tickets and all that. Heck, if you're the Thunder, say, fine, cancel. We'll call you in a year, and maybe you'll get over it and be ready to sign back up. So this is the perfect time to tank.
Yeah.
Perfect time to tank. And, oh, by the way, even if you're trying to win, doesn't mean you're going to make the playoffs. Even if you keep Gallo and CP3 and Schroeder, you might not make the playoffs again. I mean, the West is loaded. Thunder won a bunch of close games last year. They're going to win all those close games next year? Maybe not.
Their record was not true to how well.
Right.
Their record outperformed how they actually played.
Right, exactly. So – perfect time to tank. This is the time to tank. Do not hold me to that statement next year. We'll revisit it next year.
All right. We're gonna do a podcast at the same exact time 1 year from now. But before we go, buried beneath all of these mega trade deals and stories, the Thunder released some new City Edition uniforms. Just judging off social media, I'm going to call it a dead 50-50 split. I think some people love them. I think some people hate them. I have no strong feelings about them. I think they're going to be fine. I don't think they're the best uniforms I've ever seen. Give us your rundown of the new City Edition jerseys.
I don't really care. I got to be honest with you. I like to sit around and talk about football uniforms. I don't really care about basketball uniforms. I mean, if they want to play in tank tops and jean shorts, okay with me, as long as they can make a three or defend the post. That's what I care about. Everybody's all worked up about it. They look okay to me. I do wish the Thunder was a little bit more – what's the word? They look a little dark bluish to me. I love the Thunder blues.
I think they're black.
Yeah, the blues that's in there is what I'm saying is just I'm going to miss the traditional Thunder blue. I'm not even crazy about the sunsets. I mean, you know, we call them big blue. It was, you know, in a state that's red and orange, Thunder comes along and says, "Hey, we'll wear blue." And it seems they wear blue. The blue and white's less than ever. So, you know, if they come out with some blue uniforms, I'll be excited. Otherwise, probably not.
I love the sunsets. I would be fine if they wore those every game. But yeah, these new ones have a touch of they're sort of like trailblazers-y with the stripe going diagonally across the front. I don't have strong feelings. Chris Paul out before he ever has to wear them, though. He will wear the new Sun City Edition uniforms, which are quite nice. I think that's going to do it for us today. We're recording this on Monday night. The draft is Wednesday. We'll probably jump back on after that to go over the Thunder's new draft picks. Maybe there's going to be another trade by then. Who knows? Everything is moving extremely quick after a couple months of like no news at all in Thunderland. So thank you guys so much for listening to the latest episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast. And we will see you in a couple days.